I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Here's the scene. It's college graduation in California, and Carlisha Thurman is patiently awaiting her turn to pick up a diploma. She's holding her four-month-old daughter, who starts to squirm and cry. Oh, the baby's hungry, so mom starts to breastfeed her child. Well, it makes sense. Pretty simple, right? Well, for African-American mom Carlisha, her world changed right after graduation, as a beautiful picture of her breastfeeding went viral on Facebook, YouTube, national TV, everywhere in the world. And I know our next guest has a definite opinion about why this happened and the cultural and ethnic and social and economic influences that drove this response. Our guest is Kimberly Seals-Allers, an award-winning journalist, author of The Mocha Manual, and a leading consultant, commentator, and public speaker on African-American motherhood experiences. Kimberly, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What went on when that photograph of that wonderful woman breastfeeding her child, because the child was squirming and crying, what happened in your opinion?
Well, first of all, it must be said that it's so sad that such an accomplishment, you know, to see a woman, even a black woman, graduating college, and to have that occasion marred by all the negative responses to her doing the best thing that she could for giving her baby a great start in life. I mean, I think that really says something that is really upside down about our culture. Instead of us applauding her and commending her for all that picture represented in terms of accomplishment and struggle, that we would actually tear down such a person. I think that in this country, first of all, when people see exposed breasts, they don't know what to do. Everybody gets real uncomfortable now. And part of that is because it is perfectly okay to see exposed breasts to sell chicken wings and beer in this country. But if we see them used to feed a baby, all of a sudden people are in an uproar, right?
But part of that discomfort occurred when broadcast television media showed the photograph. Some media outlets cropped it so we didn't see the breast. Others blurred the breast. Others digitized the breast. Like, they couldn't quite figure out what to do with this sweet photograph.
What to do with the breast, right? It's a breast, people. And I think that the fact that it was a black breast probably made it even more provocative, because, you know, black women's bodies have been hypersexualized for years. You know, that's unfortunately part of the narrative. Unfortunately, it is, you know, a part of, you know, what we see in popular music and even in our own hip-hop culture. But it was one thing to be a breast, but to be a black breast and to be big and out there and feeding, oh my God.
I read one commentary by an African-American woman who said, in our community, in the black community, when we walk outside, we don't see black women breastfeeding. Now, among white women, breastfeeding and lactation is part of a normal conversation, but we as black people are not having these conversations in our homes, churches, schools, and we need to change that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't the conversation happening?
Well, let's talk about history, right? And this is a very deep-rooted problem. First of all, I have to say that statistically, there has been a gaping disparity, a racial disparity in breastfeeding rates for over 40 years. And a lot of my research and, you know, speaking to women really goes back to really lots of cultural myths and also the historical legacy of slavery. Now, remember, during slavery, black women were forced to stop breastfeeding their own children and breastfeed the children of their slave masters.
Hence the term wet nurse.
Wet nurses, exactly. And so we know that there was actually a market created based on a black woman's ability to breed and feed. And so there is still this lingering idea that, one, breastfeeding was something we were forced to do. It was something that we did for other people and not for ourselves. And it was something that was that we knew it to be done during a time period which we like not to think about. And so for a lot of the older generation, there's a lot of negative perceptions that get passed down to young people, because the older generation doesn't really want to talk about it. And then that conversation doesn't begin to happen generationally.
Let's talk about some of those myths, old wives' tales, if you'll pardon the expression, and stereotypes. For example, that breastfeeding contributes to sagging breasts, that a woman can't supply enough milk, especially for twins, and only peasants or poor people breastfeed. What perpetuates this myth or these stereotypes?
Well, lack of knowledge perpetuates any myth. You know, in the absence of accurate information, myths can become truths. And so this is why, particularly in the Black community, when there aren't other breastfeeding role models, when there aren't people and physicians and nurses and other mothers and grandmothers in our community to kind of refute these myths, they become truths. First of all, that pregnancy will change your breasts, not necessarily breastfeeding. The sagging breast is more of a genetic issue. It could be related to pregnancy and not something that we should pin on breastfeeding. I also encourage women to always use a nursing bra, which allows you to breastfeed exposing only, the nipple part of your breast as opposed to your whole breast, if that's a concern. But again, that conversation is wrapped up in the aesthetics of breasts because of we want them to be pleasing to men. Right. And that's part of that conversation.
And I'm so glad that you brought up the issue of men and breastfeeding. Now, my wife, Tony, breastfed our daughter for 18 months, and it was a wonderful experience. We had lots of conversations about breastfeeding and sex and sort of the postpartum world. For example, the child's getting all the attention, mom is too exhausted,
right,
and disinterested in sex. And besides, and we should refute this myth right up front, a woman can get pregnant while breastfeeding. It's truly a whoops moment. But part of the issue is that many women, and I've talked to a lot of women about this, that many women feel that their need for intimacy and sensuousness plus skin-to-skin contact is completely satisfied by breastfeeding, often and occasionally, often, to the exclusion of their partner's desires and perceived needs for sex. Is that a fairly accurate statement?
I don't think so. I would never equate the feeling and, the satisfaction and fulfillment that I got from, breastfeeding and having that skin-to-skin contact. That was no comparison to what, the contact I would get from my husband. But I think that what women do feel is kind of just touch fatigue, and when you're breastfeeding, somebody is on you a lot of times for many hours during the day. And sometimes it's just like, if one other person is on my body, I'm going to snap, okay? So what I need to do is just, focus on the baby for a little bit. But also, I think that, it's a sacrifice for women, and it's a sacrifice for men. And this is why we need men as committed partners,
right,
because we know that it can be a change relationship. But, babies change relationships, pregnancy changes the sexual nature of our relationship, and that's just part of the process. And I think that women feel that they're being forced to be back to their sexual beings when maybe they just don't want to, and that has to be okay. And it maybe has nothing to do with the baby. It just could be, listen, I've been through some trauma, and I really don't, I'm not interested in that for right now. But men, I think, have to be supportive.
That's a crucial part of the conversation that couples need to have, because they have to understand,
absolutely,
in the postpartum world, as I call it, what is going on, not only with people's bodies, but with their psyches too. But first of all, how long, ideally, should women breastfeed after birth?
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding and then 12 months of breastfeeding total after 6 months, adding complementary food. So the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 12 months of breastfeeding, 6 months exclusive, and then another 6 months with complementary foods.
Tell me, Kimberly, where can people learn more about your work, perhaps a URL, so folks can get in touch and read more about the importance of breastfeeding in the Black, in the Latina, in every community.
In every community. I would love for you to go to mochamanual.com, and there you can access our sister site, Black Breastfeeding 360, which has lots of great information and resources about breastfeeding, particularly for women of color.
Now, first of all, how do you spell mochamanual.com for folks who just grabbed their pen and would love to hear that URL
Absolutely.
Again?
Absolutely. It's mochamanual.com.
And if you go to that site, you'll see a beautiful photograph of Kimberly and her two lovely children.
Oh, thank you. Both breastfed for my daughter for 16 months and my son for 13 months. So,
bless you, Kimberly. There's a special chair for you in heaven. I know there is.
Okay.
And you know what? You're going to have lots of company up there, too, with all those breastfeeders swapping stories.
Thank you so much for having me. That was fun. That was great.